We'll start in John chapter number 1, John chapter number 1. And if you will, look at the first three verses, John chapter 1 and verse number 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. John chapter 1. Now, if you'll go over to Psalm 119, and you'll look at verse number 89, Psalm 119, verse number 89. Forever, O Lord, Thy word is settled in heaven. Forever, O Lord, Thy word is settled in heaven. Then if you'll look over at verse 152, concerning Thy testimonies, I have known of old that Thou hast founded them forever. Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, as we study what the Bible has to say about the Bible, and Lord, also what the Bible has to say about Your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, that we'll understand, Lord, that there is a wonderful, inseparable, eternal connection between the Son of God and the Word of God. And I pray, Lord, that at the end of this study, I'm praying for something very definite, Lord, that it would cause us to love our Bibles even more. And also, dear God, it would cause us to love our Savior more. And I pray, Lord, that You'd help us, Lord. Folks have been working, it's hot. And Lord, I pray, dear God, that You'd help us in the little bit of time that we're going to study the Bible together, that we'd give our full concentration. Help us, Lord, as we seek to glean, dear God, what Your Holy Spirit would teach us tonight. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. We're going to do a Bible study tonight, and that means we're going to be having you turn to several places in your Bible tonight. And to be honest with you, it's going to be some concentrated looking, some concentrated study. But I think as we go through it and do this a step at a time, line upon line, precept upon precept, that there's going to be something that begins to grow inside of you and an excitement about what you learn. You see, Gail Russ said something here, oh my goodness sakes, he was preaching at our church probably 15 years ago, and he said something that just accosted my attention, and it actually got me to do this Bible study here, this personal Bible study, not to preach on it, but just because I needed to do it. But he made a statement here at Blessed Oak Baptist Church. He said this, he said, if you took the Lord Jesus Christ and you could turn the Lord Jesus Christ into a book, you would have your King James Holy Bible. He said if you took your King James Holy Bible and you could turn it into a human being or a person, you would have the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, if you've heard that for the first time, there may be part of you that just kind of says, now, wait a minute. Let me see if I can explain it another way. And then by the time we do this study, I think I'm going to have you convinced. But watch this. You know what? If you went through everything that I've ever said in my life, everything, every word that I've ever spoken in my life, if you were to put them and you had them there in front of you and you were to put them under examination, there would be certain times that you would see something that I said, maybe out of anger, maybe just because I was backslidden, maybe because I succumbed to some fear in my life or was overwhelmed by the devil at the moment. But you would see some things and say, you know what? I know Pastor Jerry Ross said that, watch this, but that's not who he really is. I've had to deal with young people that, you know, in a fit of anger or, maybe they've just gotten a little away from God and they've said some things or wrote some things that was out of character for them. And there's been times I've had to deal with that. And you know what I've done? I brought it in my office and I say, you know what? I know what these words say, but I also know who you are. And this is not who you are. You understand that? Come on, help me out here. It's not just teenagers I'm talking about. There's not a one of us that at times have said things that aren't really representative of who we truly are. You know, but watch this. You know what? That's never been true of God. Because you cannot separate the words of God from the person of God. And everything God has ever spoken, it is a perfect representation of who He is. Okay, let God be true and every man a liar. So all of us sometimes with our lips do not properly represent who we truly are as born again Christians, but you can never separate the character of God and the person of God from his words. Now that's very important. Let me see if I can say it maybe a little different way in introduction, and then we'll get into the study. But you know what? Watch this. One of the reasons that I think you ought to spend time reading the Bible is the more you read the Bible, the more you will have a proper representation of who and understanding of who God is. Because everything that's written in the Bible is a perfect representation of God. There's folks that are trying to recreate God different than he is. And you know what? The way he is, you say, well, preacher, I think God is this. And one preacher will say, well, God is this. Another preacher will say, God is this. And you know, I know that he's multifaceted, and I know that there's many things we could talk about God, and they're all true. But the more you read the Bible and are exposed to the words of God, the more you will understand the person of God. Because God has chosen to reveal himself mainly to us through this book right here. And so when somebody tells me that God is this way, but this book doesn't represent him that way, I don't believe that that is right. I think whatever the Bible says about God is who he truly is. And when we study God in the Bible and how he reacts to different things according to the scriptures, what we're seeing is the character of God and learning the person of God. That's why you ought to read the Old Testament. That's why you ought to read it from Genesis to Revelation, because the more you understand the Bible, the more you understand God. Now, what about this great parallel? What about this Gail Russ statement? I'm hoping that this study tonight will cause you to pick this Bible up later on in this week and just feel different about it. You see, somebody said, boy, preacher, I wish I could, man, wouldn't it be great if to been one of Jesus' disciples? I mean, just if I could spend an hour with Jesus Christ. I think by the end of the night, you're going to find out how you can spend an hour with Jesus Christ. I just think this book's going to be viewed different. What are you teaching on tonight? I'm teaching on this subject, Jesus and the Bible. Jesus and the Bible. You see, one of the great studies that came out of Gail Russ's statement, one of the things that God challenged me to do is just look at this and say, you know what? What are the parallels in the scripture between the Son of God and the Word of God? And so that's where we're going to go tonight. And again, we'll plow through some of it, but be patient. Stay with me mentally. And I think by the end of this, you're going to have to step back and say, let me tell you something. This isn't just a book. This is a book that perfectly represents a person. And the idea of separating the Son of God from the Word of God, I'm never going to try to do that again. And so just stay with me tonight. Number one, let me give you several things about Jesus in the Bible, several things that are true about the Son of God and the Word of God. Number one, both existed eternally before the creation of the world. Both existed eternally before the creation of the world. We read in John chapter 1, in the beginning was the, isn't that interesting? Word. And the Word was with God. Now all of us that know our Bibles know that that's not talking about a book, that's talking about a person. We're being introduced to the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. And so wherever the beginning of God is, you know what? Jesus is there. And of course, we know that there was no beginning with God. So as far back as God goes, Jesus goes. But wait a minute. We also read in Psalms 119, verse 89, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. By the way, study that word forever. It's not talking about from this beginning point onward. It's talking about eternally in both directions. Say, are you saying, preacher, that the Word of God existed before the foundation of the earth? Yes, I am. It's exactly what I'm saying. Not only did Jesus exist, but the Bible existed. The Word of God existed also. How about this? Concerning thy testimonies, I have known of old that thou hast founded them forever. Forever. And again, study that. It's not talking about here on. It's talking about both directions forever. Now, folks, listen to me. Both the Word of God, the written Word, and the living Word, existed eternally before the creation of the world. In John chapter 1, we're taught something else. Number 2, both were involved in the creation of the world. Both were involved in the creation of the world. Did you see this? In John chapter 1, verse number 3, all things were made by him, who? The Word. And without him was not anything made that was made. Well, wait a minute, preacher. The Word, is that talking about the Word of God or the Son of God? Yes. And you're going to have several moments like this tonight where we get confused. Wait a minute, I thought we were talking about the Word of God. Now it sounds like we're talking about the Son of God. I thought we were talking about the Son of God. Yes, we are. You know, it's interesting. God could have introduced Jesus in any way he chose to in John chapter 1, but you know what? He chose to introduce him to us by calling him the Word. And watch this. All things were made by him, Jesus, and without him was not anything made that was made. In Colossians chapter 1, I'll read this to you. Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. So we know we're talking about Jesus. In whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sin, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him, Jesus, were all things created that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist. So if you say, preacher, I got it. God created the world through Jesus Christ. All right, now let me read you another verse. Matter of fact, I told you I was going to have you move your Bible, so I'm going to let you do it. Hebrews chapter number 11. Hebrews chapter number 11. You know what? All things were created by Jesus Christ. Okay, good, good. I'm glad we established that. I agree with that. I'm a Bible-believing Christian. Amen. John chapter 11. If you look there, that great faith chapter in verse number 1. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the what? Wait a minute, he created all things through Jesus Christ. Well, it says here that they were framed by the Word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Was the world brought into existence through the Word of God, the words of God? Absolutely. We could go back to Genesis and look at the creation story, and you know what we would see over and over again? And God said, and it was so. And God said, and it, you know what's interesting? Here, it's clearly taught in the Bible that all things were created by and through Jesus Christ, and yet all things are created by the Word of God. By the way, we're going to have several of these moments tonight. Preacher, I don't know. You're just trying to take two things and make them into one. Well, I'm going to let the Bible do it for you. And by the way, I think you'll treat this book a little differently if you'll let this happen in your life. I don't think you can separate the Word of God from the Son of God. I think if you took your King James Bible and turned it into a person, if we could have the power to do that, I think Jesus Christ would stand before you. I think if you took Jesus and turned him into a book, you know what? I think you'd have your King James Holy Bible. And so both existed eternally before the creation of the world. Both were involved in the creation of the world. How about this? Both came into the world by a miracle of the Holy Spirit. Now stay with me here. Go to Luke chapter 1, if you will. Luke chapter 1. How did God choose to send Jesus, the Son of God, into this world? How was he delivered to us? I'm going to speak sacredly about this, but I want you to pay attention especially to the working of the Holy Spirit of God. In Luke chapter 1, verse number 31, and behold, here's an angel has appeared to Mary, and he's given her the will of God for her life, the information about the miracle that's about to happen. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and shalt bring forth a son and shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be called great and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. He shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Now watch this. Here's the question. Then said Mary unto the angel, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? Listen to the answer. And the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee. By the way, you think about that little phrase here, because we're going to go back and visit another verse. Shall come upon thee. And the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. Now, isn't that interesting? The Holy Spirit of God literally was used as the instrument that delivered into, in a miraculous fashion, delivered into the womb of Mary, the Son of God. It was the Holy Spirit. It wasn't a man. We understand that one of the key doctrines of the Bible is the virgin birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, Jesus was not the product of a man and a woman. Jesus was the product of the Holy Spirit of God coming upon and delivering into the womb of a virgin, a young virgin Jewish girl, the very Son of God. Now watch this. Stay with me here. Go over to 2 Peter chapter number 1. 2 Peter chapter number 1. Say, preacher, that's how Jesus was delivered to earth. Well, let's look and be reminded. I know I read some of this on Sunday, but let's just be reminded how we got the scriptures, okay? Both came into the world by a miracle of the Holy Ghost. 2 Peter chapter 1 verse number 16, for we have not followed cunningly devised fables. 2 Peter 1:16, but we made known unto you the power and coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty, for he received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory. This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him in the holy mount. We have also a more sure word of prophecy. By the way, that's amazing to me. They said this: we stood and with our ears heard God speak from heaven. But he said this: by the way, we also have a more sure word of prophecy. Folks, listen to me. This book right here is more sure as far as representing the word of God than if you were to hear a voice from heaven. If you came to me and said, preacher, I heard a voice from heaven, God tell me this, and it was contrary to what this book said, this is a more sure prophecy. Okay, this is a more sure prophecy. And so that's astounding. And by the way, they heard it was God that spoke that day. But they said, we've got a more sure prophecy. Now watch this. We have also a more sure prophecy. Word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that you take heed as to a light that shineth in a dark place until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Now, isn't this interesting? Watch this. Here the Holy Ghost brings the Son of God and comes down and tenderly delivers the Son of God into the womb of a virgin girl. And then here the Holy Spirit of God comes to holy men of old. And you know what? He delivers the scripture through them. Do you see the parallel once again of how Jesus was brought into this world and how the Holy Spirit of God came into this world? Let me give you another thought that'll build on that. Both came into the world by way of sinful man, yet were delivered free of error or corruption. Okay, let me ask you this. The fact that God, by the way, let's just establish this, okay, in case this ever ends up on the radio. I know y'all know this, but I don't know what your backgrounds are. Let me just clear something out. Watch this. You know what? God did not choose a sinless Jewish girl. All right? Are you with me on that? Okay? Mary was a sinner. Okay? She was virtuous. She was a virgin. She was special in the fact that I'm sure God in heaven, you understand, he could have chosen anyone. I think in many ways, by the way, I've got an entire Bible study on 10 key traits. And I think you young ladies, I think Mary ought to be one of the Bible characters that every young lady studies out and makes a hero of. But wait a minute, let's not do what the Catholics have done. All right, let's not elevate her to the point of the mother of God, the sinlessness. Let's not do that. You know what? She was a sinner. By the way, Mary needed to be saved the same way I needed to be saved and you needed to be saved. Okay? So stay with me here. What I'm saying is this. You know what? Mary was a sinful girl, but God used her to bring into the world the perfect Son of God. Now let me ask you a question. The very fact that Mary was a sinful woman and God used her to bring in the perfect Son of God, did that in any way taint his perfection? Did any of that sinfulness come through her into his life and prevent him from being the perfect sinless sacrifice for each and every one of us? No, and by the way, neither did the Holy Spirit using holy men of old to deliver something sacred and perfect and complete. In no way the fact that the Holy Spirit chose again to use a sinful man to deliver to the world a perfect book, in no way did their sinfulness corrupt the process. Does that make sense to you? I'm going to tell you, that's exciting to me. See, the living word, Hebrews, according to Hebrews chapter 4, seeing then that we have a high, great high priest that has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession, for we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. There's the proof. He was a young virgin girl who was a sinner, was used to be the mother of Jesus Christ and to bring Christ to this world. And yet, you know what? It didn't taint Jesus at all. He was the sinless, perfect Son of God. And then we read over in Psalms 119, I like this. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimonies of the Lord is sure, making the way. Wait a minute, they can't be preacher because God had to use a sinful man. Yeah, just like he used that sinful girl. But guess what? The product was still perfect. God used them in such a way that it became perfect. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandments of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. Isn't that interesting? Perfect, sure, right, and pure. And yet I promise you that if you looked at the lives of the men whom God used to read the Bible, you'd find instances where they were at times not these things. And yet God used them and protected and saw to it that what was delivered to us was perfect and free of corruption, free of any error. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey in the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in the keeping of them there's great reward. Are you with me here tonight? I knew what it was going to be. I want you to stay with me. Folks, we're building to something here. All right? So, preacher, Jesus and the Bible, they both existed eternally before the creation of the world. They were both involved in the creation of the world. Both came into the world by the miracle of the Holy Spirit. Both came into the world by the way of sinful man, yet were delivered free of error and corruption. Amen. Let me go on farther. While on earth, during their time on earth, when Jesus was on earth, while on earth, both were and are divinely preserved, incorruptible, sinless, and perfect, despite the time that they spent here on earth. The living word. What does it say about Jesus? The God of Abraham, Acts chapter 3, verse 13, the God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, hath glorified his son Jesus, whom ye delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go. But ye denied the Holy One and, capital J here, the just, and desired a murderer to be granted unto you. You know what the Bible tells us? That Jesus was the Holy One and the just one. Now stay with me here. Watch this. Okay, preacher, God delivered, now stay with me here. God delivered Jesus into the world through a sinful woman, but he was here for 33 years and he had to rub shoulders. He had to be in this world and around this world. Surely his time spent here has in some way corrupted him. Nope. Sinless. Nope. The perfect one, the holy one. Nope. The just one, capital J, just one. Even though Jesus was born and delivered pure, he not only did that, all of the time he spent on earth, he was still able to go to that cross as the sinless Son of God, the Lamb of God, without spot, without blemish. And if he hadn't have been, none of us would have a chance to go to heaven. It'd be over, folks. So even though he was here, God protected him and God preserved him, and he remained the sinless, perfect sacrifice. This Bible's been on this planet for a long time. God saw to it that it was delivered purely through holy men of old. Yeah, preacher, this is what bothers me when I see certain doctrinal statements, and I look for certain things on church doctrinal statements, when missionaries send me doctrinal statements, when evangelists send me doctrinal statements, when they say, we believe that the Word of God is pure in its original manuscripts. That bothers me. I'm just telling you, that bothers me.
And you'd be surprised how many churches had that in there. And probably they copied it from some Southern Baptist Convention, American Baptist Convention, and they've never considered the subject. I believe it, preacher, I believe that the Bible is inspired and perfect and pure in its original manuscripts. And what my question is this, well, then go get me an original manuscript. Go get me one. If that's all you believe, and that you believe that it only was perfect when it was delivered, that's like saying that you believe only Jesus was perfect in the manger. Come on now. And I think the same God that could serve the living Word in the beginning was the Word. There's a reason He's called that. The same God and the same Holy Spirit that preserved His Son when He dwelt amongst sinful men. By the way, 40 years He was brought into the wilderness. 40 years. I'm sorry, 40 days he was driven into the wilderness. And basically, you know what? Satan threw everything he had at him. And yet, you know what? He walked out of that wilderness 40 days later, still perfect, still the Holy One, still the Just One. Okay? And you know what? Can I say this? The devil's thrown everything he's had at this book for all of these centuries. And you know what I believe? The same God, the same living Word that dwelt amongst men and remained perfect is the same God that sent His written Word in the very similar fashion and has preserved it all of these years in perfect format and perfectly preserved and without corruption to this day. That's what I believe. Let me give you something else. Both are used interchangeably in the Scriptures. Now, we've already looked at John chapter 1, but let me read it again. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. And so here we see Jesus used, identified by the title of the Word. And the Word then representing Jesus Christ. Let me have you go to Hebrews chapter 4, one of my favorite portions of Scripture when I preach on this subject of Jesus and the Bible. In Hebrews chapter number 4, we see again that the Word of God and the Son of God are used in the Scriptures quite often interchangeably. Interchangeably. Stay with me here. Hebrews chapter 4, and look if you will in verse number 12. Now notice this. I love the way this reads. Stay with me. For the Word of God is quick. Wait a minute, stop. What are we talking about here? All right, okay. I just want to make sure that I'm misreading. We're talking, the subject now that we're considering is the Word of God. True? Okay, for the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrows, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in
His sight.
Wait a minute. His sight? I thought we were talking about a book. Yes, sir. Wait a minute. But all things are naked and open unto the eyes of Him with whom we have to do. I wonder who that is, that whom we have to do guy. I wonder who that person is. Wait a minute, preacher. Something's wrong here. In one verse, we're talking about a book. In the next verse, we're talking about a person. Amen. Amen. Stay with me now. Amen. Okay, well, I love Jesus, but there's certain parts of the Bible I just don't agree with. You don't love Jesus. Well, I'm a Christian, but I just think some of these things in here, I just think those were more. No, come on. You know what? You're not going to wiggle your way out of this. You can't line yourself up with Christ and line yourself against the Word of God. You can't do it. Okay, because I love this. Look, can I read that again just for the fun of it? The Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in His sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of Him with whom we have to do. I like that. Revelation chapter 1. Let's go over there. Revelation chapter 1. It's almost like God's going through the Scripture and He's talking about the Word of God, and the next thing you know, He's talking about the Son of God, then He goes back to talking about the Word of God as if, you know what, they were inseparable. They were the same thing. Revelation chapter number 1. Both are used interchangeably in the Scriptures. I love this story
of John the Revelator. I love the, I could preach, honestly, if you just said, preacher, if there's one chapter that you could, that you'd like to preach out of, I mean, for an entire month, Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, I think John chapter 1 is one of the most amazing chapters. And I think we ought to go to it often. If there's anything we need as Christians on a regular basis, it's a new vision of the Lord Jesus Christ, a revelation of who he truly is. But notice what it says here. Stay with me. This is fun. In Revelation chapter 1 and verse number 10, well, let's go to verse number 9. I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle which is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. Isn't that interesting? What was he there for? For the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. He was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. Now watch this. And heard behind me what? A great voice. By the way, what does a voice speak? Words. Okay, thank you. All right, I want to make sure. As of a trumpet, saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and last. And what thou seest, write in a book and send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia, and Pergamos, and unto Smyrna, and to which are in Asia, unto Ephesus, and unto Smyrna, and unto Pergamos, and unto Thyatira, and unto Sardis, and unto Philadelphia, and unto Laodicea, and I love this, and I turned to see the voice that spake with me. Isn't that interesting? And being turned, what did he see? I saw seven golden candlesticks, and in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man. See, I read these things, and you know what I see? I see John, and you know what he did? He heard words. He heard a voice. I love that. He didn't say, I turned to see the man who spoke. You know what he says? I turned to see the voice. Brother, come on now. I kind of believe that all scripture is given by inspiration of God is profitable. I think, you know what? When John heard Jesus, it was no different than seeing Jesus. I don't think John said, well, he said this, but he was this. No, when he heard him, he turned to see him. And he treated the words of Jesus Christ the same as, and refers to them the same as he would refer to the person of Jesus Christ. What are you trying to do, preacher? I'm trying to get us to understand something here, folks. We need to start treating this book with a little more reverence. Well, listen to me. How you treat this book is really how you feel about Jesus. You can sit there and try to talk out of both sides of your mouth at the same time if you want to, but you know what? It just don't fly with this old preacher because I've studied the book too long. I'm sick and tired of a generation of people who want to claim they love Jesus, and yet every day they live in direct disobedience to this book and brag about it, and then want to put on the mantle of being a good Christian. No, you're not. And don't tell me about how much you love Jesus, because you don't. You can't separate these things. You want to go somewhere else? Well, we're having fun. We might as well. Revelation chapter 19. Revelation chapter number 19. You know, it's amazing, folks, when you start going through this and you begin to understand that you can't separate these things. And here, John the Revelator has a front row seat, and he's got parchment and a pen, and he's writing these things down. And boy, he's seen things and trying to describe them that we can't imagine. Verse number 11, and I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. You know what's going to happen when he's coming back? And he's going to make everything right. Oh, he's going to go down and win this thing forever. Okay, he's going to go down and set the Supreme Court straight. All right, he's going to fix all the wrongs that have been done. And somebody says, who is that? Who is that coming from heaven? Who is that on that white horse? And somebody's going to say, that's the Word of God. That's what this says. His name should be called the Word of God. Here comes Jesus. No, they're going to say, here comes the Word of God. Say, preacher, that's confusing. Not to me. Not to me. Not to me. Say, did you read your Bible this morning? Hey, folks, did you read your Bible this morning? I could also ask you this. Did you spend time with Jesus this morning? Because when you read your Bible, you're spending time with Jesus. Did you spend some time learning Jesus this morning? Well, preacher, how do I do that? When you learn the Bible. By the way, did you show some respect to Jesus today? By the way, you did. You know why? You came to Wednesday night
Bible study. Okay, see, when you disrespect the church attendance, you're not, listen, you get that? It's not Jerry Ross. Okay, I'm just the messenger boy. Okay, I'm just the under shepherd. There's a shepherd of the flock. Okay, in this book, you know, well, I don't agree with, all right, fine, you know what? You can say everything you want to say, but I'm just telling you, you know what? Your love for Jesus parallels your love for this book. Oh, I hope that brings conviction to our hearts. Good night. I think we're going to stand before God one of these days, and we're going to see from an eternal viewpoint just what this book was and was meant to be. And we're going to realize we walked around with a copy of this book, and we had it in our possession. Folks, we're Americans. Good night. In the average home represented in this church right here, there's not one Bible. There's not two Bibles. In many of the homes, there's 5, 6, 7, 8, 10, 12 Bibles. And God's going to say, don't you understand what I did? Jesus was there for a short time. Watch this. And then he needed to come and be with me. But what I did was I gave you him that you could have all the time. In the beginning was the Word. Who's that coming? That's the Word of God coming. That's who's coming. And by the way, let me give you this last one. Both will last for all eternity. We read this already. Jesus said this, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is and was and which is to come, the Almighty. Hey, he's never going anywhere. Not only was Jesus forever that direction, forever since eternity past, but Jesus will be forever in eternity future. What was that true of the Bible? Jesus, I mean, surely, preacher, once we get to heaven, we won't need the Bible anymore. How about this? Matthew 24:35, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. Mark 13:31, it's repeated, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. Luke 21:33, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. Now, folks, you take this and do whatever you want with it. You can go home and try to take some slant, theological slant, and try to figure out a way to drive a wedge between the Word of God and the Son of God. But I'm going to tell you this, I'm just a simple country preacher. And I just open the Bible and read it and believe it. And I don't even know if I even understand all of what I've just said, but I know that what the Bible says about this enough to know that, you know what? This book ought to mean as much to me and as much to you as the Lord Jesus Christ means to us. And my, you know, oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus because he first loved me. Maybe when we sing that this Sunday, we ought to take our Bibles and go, oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because he first loved me. Because I believe this. I believe you truly love Jesus as much as you love this holy book. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, I ask, dear God, that you'd help us, dear God, to once again fall in love with the Son of God. And while we're doing that, fall in love with the Word of God. Lord, thank you, dear God, for the Bible. It's a miracle book. It's a precious book. Lord, we certainly need it. America needs it. The church needs it. Every Christian needs it. I pray, Lord, that you'll help us from this day forward to look at it maybe just with a little bit more respect and reverence and awe. And Lord, may we do whatever we need to rearrange our lives in such a way so that we have time and take time to spend in the Word of God. We pray these things in Jesus' name.